and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts. With your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
Woohoo! Yo. So today we have a jam-packed episode. We have a lot of books to get through before starting. Both Raylene and I were like, we have tall stacks this week, so we have a lot of books we want to get to. We have some fun and interesting book news. I actually don't know what Raylene's book news is, but she keeps hyping it up to me, so I think it's going to be exciting.
It might be completely lame, but I think it's really cool.
Before we dive in, we did want to re-announce, like we did last week, that the book club pick has been chosen for the Books Unbound book club, and it is The Memory Police. So if you want to join us, we're going to have a special episode that comes out in a couple of weeks. It's like 6 weeks from now or something, a couple months, I guess. Yeah, we'll have a special episode that comes out. So if you want to, like, really get the full juice out of that episode, make sure to read the book. But the other thing we wanted to mention is Raylene had a genius idea that her and I should individually make reading vlogs while we're reading the book club pick. So yeah, we're going to be making those while we read The Memory Police and uploading them to Patreon as little bonus things. So if you want to become a part of the Books Unbound family and really, you know, join the force of this podcast, we'd really appreciate your support, and you guys will be able to watch the reading vlog. Now, the other thing Raylene has been pushing for months, and so I think that she should be the one to announce that we're going to be doing reverse recommendations next week. So tell everyone what that means.
Yeah, so I had this idea like a few months ago, and we just kind of have been putting it on the back burner, but basically, I want to get recommendations from you guys, because there are so many books, like reading the recommendations that people send in and how specific they are makes me think of my own that I want. And I'm like, who is going to give them to me? Because I can't do it. Obviously, I don't know what I want. And so what we are going to do is, I don't know how often we'll do this, but we have each selected a recommendation request that we want you guys to give us book recommendations for. So we've made a spreadsheet that features each of our recommendation requests. And so this spreadsheet we are going to make available on Patreon to anyone who wants to recommend us books, basically. So head over to our Patreon to give us some recommendations. And if this is successful, then we will do it more, because I have so many things that I want to ask you guys for. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about what you guys recommend to us next week if we get enough recommendations. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, totally. Like Raylene mentioned, you don't have to be a paying patron in order to see this spreadsheet. It was actually kind of funny because we were talking about, like, how should we do this? Like, what's the best way to filter the answers that you guys send us? And I was like, I think we can trust them with a spreadsheet.
We believe in those guys.
So yeah, we're really opening up our hearts and souls here with our spreadsheet, and we're really excited to see what you guys drop in there. So I think we should honestly share what we're looking for right now real quick, just because it'll be fun for people.
That's a good idea.
I'm looking for a book. I feel like I'm looking for a boyfriend. I'm looking for a book that will sweep my heart away. No, I'm looking for a book about a woman who travels. So that's pretty vague, but the details to get more specific are, I want the woman to be like between 20 and 25 years old, aka my age. And I want most of the book to be about the traveling. Just because I know a lot of books can have like a trip or a like travel for the first quarter and the rest is back at home. I'm like, no, I just want to read a book where for most of the book, the girl is like in Europe or in Africa. I don't care where. I just want her gone.
I want her to be on a journey somewhere.
I want her to be on an adventure and to be learning about travel, because that is like, I read this book called Wanderlove by Kirsten Hubbard many, many years ago, and I loved it so much, and I've been looking for something like that ever since. So, Raylene, what are you asking for?
Okay, my first one that I'm asking for is something that I have such a hard time finding, and that is a book that could make a great Black Mirror episode, basically. So a book that has some kind of weird specific thing about it, probably to do with technology or social media in some way, but also if it's just kind of like twisted and weird and has to do with alternate realities or time travel, clones, like anything like that. Like, I don't know. I just want something weird, sci-fi, kind of dark, and something that kind of reflects society in a dark light, because I like that kind of stuff. So That's what I want. Yeah.
I love it. That Thanks. Sounds spooky. I'm excited to hear what people give us.
I really hope there's something.
It is now time for us to jump into our normal spiel, though. Raylene, what are you currently reading?
That's an interesting question. I'm currently reading 3 books.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, when I decided to do this, I was like, this is going to get stressful one time. I know it's going to come back to haunt me, but I'm doing it anyway. So the first book I'm reading, you'll know all about, and that's Breaking Dawn.
Yes, I was also going to shut that book out this week.
It's that time again, folks. Forks Farm, we are finally on the final book. So we're reading a quarter of the book each month to make it a little less stressful. Don't have to do it week to week. So basically, mm-hmm. I'm not reading that one at this very moment, but it's so much fun. I'll just say that. It's so much fun. And then next up, I am also reading The Immortalists by Chloe Benjamin.
Ooh, I've seen that cover. It's a beautiful cover.
I just started this one because it was my pick for a book club this month, actually, because it sounds really cool. I'm like 20 pages in, so I know basically nothing. But yeah. It starts out with these 4 kids who are aged like 9 to 13. They're all siblings. They go to this like mystical woman. And it takes place in 1969 in New York City. And they go to this mystical woman who can tell you the day you're gonna die, basically. And they're like, yeah, so it's like, woo. And then so that's basically how it starts, and I'm like, whoa, what's gonna happen? And it kind of covers terrifying. Like 5 decades, I think, like throughout the whole book. Like, it's a very sweeping multi-generational type of situation, so I'm quite interested to get into this.
I'm actually really interested to hear what you think about that, because right? It just sounds, from the very little you said, that if you love it, I would love it.
Exactly. So I hope that I love it. My 2 other people in my book club that are reading it right now are not loving it, so I'm kind of like, oh, we'll see. But we have very different tastes. But then last and not least is the book that I started yesterday, and I'm already almost finished, and that is The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King. This one.
Why'd you start that boy?
Audiobook, man. I started a new cross stitch. I don't know if you saw in my Snapchat
stories.
I did see.
It looks very beautiful.
Yeah. I just started it because I had 2 other projects ongoing, and I finally like framed them and got them actually finished. So I was like, it's time for a new cross stitch. And when I cross stitch, I just listen to audiobooks because it's the way to go. And so listened to like 80% of this yesterday, which was only like 3 hours or something, so it wasn't a huge time commitment, but yeah, it's pretty good. This one has really mixed reviews, and it has a really low average rating on Goodreads, but I think it's pretty cool. It's about a girl who's 9, and she gets lost in the woods, and it's just about her trying to survive, but then there's like a creepy voice whispering to her that there's something out creepy. There watching her. Yeah, it's like, you're being watched, and she's
I hate
like,
that. Ew.
But she's like really resourceful for a 9-year-old, so it's fun to listen to. She's not completely helpless, so it's very cool. Yeah, so that's everything I'm reading. What are you reading?
Well, I was also going to start with Breaking Dawn. Mm-hmm. As you all may remember, Raylene and I have undertaken a rereading of the Twilight Saga. We've now been doing it for like literally a year.
Uh-huh. It's taken us a long time.
But because we're reading it really slowly, because every week before for Twilight, New Moon, and Eclipse, we would meet every week and talk about 3 chapters while streaming Stardew Valley. So that was like our thing. But now that we have the podcast and other projects that we're working on, we kind of ran out of time every week. So we decided to just do it once a month. So like you said, Raylene, we've read 25% of the book. Mm-hmm. I am not enjoying it as much as you are, as you know.
Uh-huh.
I've really enjoyed the rest of the books, and Eclipse once again was my favorite. I don't know why I like that book so much, but I do. But Breaking Dawn is really stressful to me. Like, a lot of the decisions that Stephenie Meyer made for her characters just give me a lot of anxiety, and I'm just like, I can't get past it. But I am, like, overall still enjoying it, because I just, at this point, love these characters, mm-hmm. and I'm, like, here for whatever the hell they're gonna go through. Yeah, and the thing is, like, we've mentioned before, like, this is my 5th time reading this book, I guess.
Mm, this is only my 2nd time, so.
But you have seen the movie a million times.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah. So I know everything that's happening as I go through, but the last time I read it was, like, over 10 years ago, mm-hmm. so I don't actually really remember. I don't know, it's kind of a weird, like, the second it happens, I'm like, oh yeah, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we won't be reading that again till next month, but. Yeah, worth mentioning. The other book that I'm currently reading is, get this, Raylene, The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa.
Oh!
So, obviously, our book club pick. Mm-hmm. Basically, what happened was earlier today, I was like, I'm not reading anything right now, and we're recording the podcast later. I better start something. I'm just going to read one page of The Memory Police, and then I can say that I'm reading The Memory Police.
I love that.
And so I picked it up. No. I read a whole chapter. Oh. It's so flippin' good. Oh, to be fair, excited. The first chapter is like 8 pages, but still,
yeah.
Like, I was in it. I was like, wait, whoa. There's a lot of dialogue. It's a conversation between a daughter and a mother. The daughter is asking the mom, who's like an artist and has kind of this cabinet of curiosities. She's like, can I open a drawer? And the mom's like, sure. And she opens a drawer and she sees all these things that have been forgotten mm-hmm. by the island. And the daughter's like, what's that? And the mom's like, well, this is a ribbon. We used to use it for this. And this is a stamp. It used to be this.
Oh my God.
And the daughter has this really weird relationship with it because she doesn't remember these things because she's part mm-hmm. of the like wave that has forgotten them. And right at the end, she asks her mom, like, why haven't you forgotten these things? And then the chapter ends. And I'm just like, oh my goodness.
Because her mom is a rebel. That's why.
I don't know why, but I love it. So I'm so excited to keep reading it. Even though I kind of started it as a joke today, I'm just like now deeply invested with my entire heart.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited to start that book, but I don't want to start it too soon because I feel like I'll fly through it in like 2 days because I just have a feeling I'm going to really love it.
I think that's going to happen to me too. But also the other exciting thing for this is that it is one of the books that I mentioned in my video predicting for books that I would give 5 stars to. So I really want to be right. I want to be right about all of those books. I'm obviously not going to lie. Like, I could just pretend I'm right on all of them, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. I want to, like, I'll give it my honest rating. But yeah, I'm like, already. If it was just based on that first chapter, I'm like, definitely 5 stars. It was so exciting.
Amazing. Well, this is, I just thought of something that's an unrelated question, but I want to ask. Please. Have you read any of your big books yet this year?
No.
I'm curious if you know which one you're going to start with.
It's either going to be the biography of Frida Kahlo or IQ84. Mm. Connor keeps telling me to read Dune, and I've already told him. I'm like, no, Dune is the last one. But he votes IQ84. So I'm thinking, I was actually thinking of starting that this week. And then just today, like the book that was near me was The Memory Police. So I ended up starting that one. But yeah, it's a good, that is a solid question. I realized... I'm really, 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 really bad at to-be-read piles. Like, a to-be-read list or a to-be-read decision or plan never works out for me.
Yeah,
and I realized that in January, I uploaded 3 to-be-read videos to my channel.
You're like, you have to read them.
I know. One of them was my 5-star books. One of them was my big books. And one of them was my most anticipated books of 2020. So, yeah, you know, like, there are self-made challenges, and the good thing about the 5 stars and the big books and the other one is, like, I could take a year to do them all. Like, I can take as long as I want. I didn't say I'm going to read all of these this month or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of fun because I feel, like, this pressure sort of. Like, whenever I go to pick up my next book, I'm like, wait, maybe I should achieve one of
maybe
my goals.
Maybe it's time. Well, because especially with the big books one, you're doing 6 books, right? So it's, like, every 2 months, like, on average, you're going to have to read one, so.
Yeah.
Or leave it to the last second and have a
You're
breakdown.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, Raylene. That is the math.
Because I've also been I've been thinking about picking up a big book too, so I kind of want you to do it too so that we can just both read a really big book. Just saying.
And then the podcast can hear me talk about it for literally 2 months as I slog
exactly,
through it.
Exactly.
Oh, the other update. I realized I had to give this because I mentioned it in it. I mentioned it in the last episode was my library audiobook debacle.
Oh, yeah. Tell me everything.
I would like to report that I have not started any of those audiobooks and another one was returned without my consent.
Oh, no. Scandal.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens next week. I still have 2 left.
I dare you to start listening to one of them.
I know, right? I really want to. But on that note, Raylene, what have you finished this week?
Okay, I also have 2 books to mention for this. One of them is kind of a joke, but I'll talk about that later. So the main book I finished was P.S. I Still Love You by Jenny Han.
Oh my god, you finished it.
I read it in like a day and a half.
And? What did you think?
Like, on the one hand, it's like so great. Like, obviously I flew through it. But at the same time, it's like, these books are kind of annoying. Like, I can see why I disliked them so much when I, or I disliked the first one so much when I read it. And I still kind of have that same feeling. But like I said last week, it's like, I can just imagine the movie while I'm reading and it kind of makes it better. But the way that the characters are written is also kind of annoying. Like, there's there's like a big problem in this book that in the movies is like not a problem at all anymore. Like, the whole, you know, the whole hot tub video scandal. It's like, it's like a big joke by the time the second movie rolls around. Like, there's a quick shot of it and then it's like, whatever, no big deal. But in this book, like, half the book is taken up of Lara Jean being like, oh my God, everybody's seen the video. And it was, so she was just really annoying. I don't really like Peter in the books very much. Peter is much more charming in the movies.
I've heard that. I've heard people say that book Peter is way more annoying.
He is, and he's kind of a bad guy.
I've heard that.
I don't love Peter, so I don't know. I'll still read the third book, because now I'm in deep. I have to, but I definitely wouldn't I wouldn't say that they're my favorite books by any means. And the book that I just finished yesterday, I thought I would mention because it's a cat book, but it was not... not very good. Okay. It's called
not a great reading.
No, not a great read. It's called Some Very Interesting Cats Perhaps You Weren't Aware Of by Doogie Horner. And it's like this kind of humor book that's just like a picture with like a kind small of page of text. And this was given to me as a Christmas present by a friend who knows I love cat books. And I'm still glad to have it on my shelf, but reading it was like, not very good. There was only one page that actually made me kind of go, haha. And the rest were just like, I'm disappointed. I was shaking my head the whole time, so it's sad. But I'll post a picture of the one that I liked on our Bookstagram, I think, because it was cute.
Yeah. I wish that everyone could have seen you shake your head when you said, no, no. No, no. No, no, no.
Not good. Not good.
Well, yeah,
that's all
not
I have.
All, I guess just because it has a cat on the cover doesn't mean it's a good book.
No, exactly. But I'm still going to have it. Like, they can't all be good books, which I don't know why. Like, I would have thought that they would be. Like, not every cat book is going to be quality.
Just because the world's not fair, Raylene.
Exactly.
Well, in the last week, I haven't finished anything. That's fine. And that's okay, guys.
That is okay.
That's okay. Sometimes things be busy. Mm-hmm. But I did buy books, so I thought it would be fun to share a little book haul.
Hell yeah.
I actually, I was given a gift card, a Chapters gift card, by my boyfriend's parents for Christmas, but they forgot to send it home with my boyfriend, so they ended up shipping it to me, like mailing it. It to me, and I just got it like a couple days before Valentine's, and then on Valentine's, me and my boyfriend went to Chapters, and I got two books, and then the next day, I bought another book, so I got three books to talk to you about pretty quickly.
Woo,
here.
I love
The first one is called Dodo by Philippe Nunes.
It's so cute.
It is so cute, and the art style is beautiful. The color palette is gorgeous. It's another one of these kind of pinky purple books.
I love it.
It says that it's a story about a six-year-old whose parents are splitting up. She doesn't understand why she's being kept home from school for a super long time. And then suddenly, a mysterious bird, a dodo named Ralph, shows up in her life. And they start to, like, become friends and go on an adventure. So, it's, I thought, I was really confused. I was like, is this middle grade or is it not? But I don't think it is because of two things. It kind of seems a little bit like, you know, in certain movies and shows when a baby or, like, a little kid, like a toddler, will have, like, a really developed, like, Charlie Brown. In Charlie Brown, all those kids are, like, 5 years old.
Yeah,
but they
advanced.
Speak like they're adults.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. Like, she's six, but she's not really. And then also on the back, it says, like, was it on the back? Or was it on Goodreads? I forget. Somewhere it says a graphic novel for all ages. So I was like, all right.
Cute.
So yeah, I haven't heard anyone talk about it, but I'm always down for a graphic novel. It's pretty short. The next graphic novel I got is called Girl Town. So this is exciting for two reasons. One, she, the artist Carolyn Nowak worked on Lumberjanes, which was like a pretty big deal in BookTube for a little while. I remember a lot of people talking about Lumberjanes. But the second, I'm really excited about this because it's like an anthology.
Oh, cool.
So it's got, I want to say six, one, two, three, four, five. I lied. It's got five different, stories, comics from this artist. And I just think that's really cool. I've never read an anthology from like a graphic artist. Like I always read an entire graphic novel, not an anthology of their different works. And it's like, she draws in really different styles for all of the different stories.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm really excited to like, just flip through and like, yeah, like different color palettes, totally different character drawing styles, different amounts of like dialogue and stuff, different tones. So that looks
really cool.
And then the final book I got is The Innocents by Michael Crummy. Yeah, this one is so beautiful. I'm obsessed with the cover. Also, if anyone's ever felt this in a bookshop, the material of the dust jacket is the nicest material ever, and I wish all dust jackets were made out of this material because it's so freaking nice.
I feel like I know how it feels just by looking at it. Like I think I know what texture it is. Is it that soft, like matte?
Yes, kind soft of, like, matte.
Almost
soft
a little
matte.
Bit. Bumpy
almost
a little.
Grainy, but
yeah.
Not.
Okay, I know exactly what it feels like.
Yeah, and it's so nice. It's similar to Turtles All the Way Down.
Ah, yes, there you go.
A bit softer.
Good point of reference. But a bit softer.
So this is a book about two characters, a brother and a sister, who are orphaned on an isolated cove in Newfoundland. So something happens, I think it's like some sort of a storm or some sort of an ocean event, and these two siblings get trapped, and it says, as they fight for their own survival through years of meager catches and storms. So years, it's not just like a little adventure, it's a big adventure. Mm-hmm. and it's really exciting. So it's exciting for a few reasons. One, because it was recently nominated for a couple of awards. Of course, I can't remember which ones, but I remember seeing stickers and stuff. But secondly, I was just in Newfoundland a couple months ago, and I had the best damn time ever while I was there, and I kind of miss it. I kind of miss my Newfoundland people. So, when I saw this, I was like, you know what? That is a book I've had my eye on for a while. I want to read about Newfoundland. So,
that's cool. I want to read more Canadian fiction, too.
Yeah, it's always awesome to pick up Canadian lit. I agree. Well, with that being said, it is now time to jump into book news. All right, Raylene, you take it off since your news, you've told me, has been long in the works.
Yeah, I was going to mention this a couple weeks ago, and then I realized it was too soon. Wasn't the right time. Okay. So, have you ever heard of the Folio Society?
I have. Good. I have heard of
Folio for those who
Society.
Don't know, Folio Society is a book publisher that they put out beautiful editions of books that come in slipcases. The slipcases are always ugly, but the books themselves are beautiful and usually have illustrations and stuff. And they, I don't know how long they've been doing this for, but for the past few years anyway, they've been putting on this competition for artists to create the covers and a couple of illustrations for new editions of the books that they're putting out. So for example, last year it was Howl's Moving Castle. And
yeah.
They
I literally just typed it in and I'm looking at it and it is gorgeous.
Yeah. Jesus. And I was, because basically it goes through a few rounds of voting. It's a People's Choice Award.
Oh,
and
that's fun.
Yeah. So I went through the rounds of voting last year, and the one that my number one pick wasn't the winner, but the one that won was my number two pick. So I'm okay with it. But anyways, so for this year, the long list was announced on Valentine's Day, which is why I waited until now to talk about it, because you can actually go look at the different covers that people have drawn.
Oh, fun. Okay.
So this year, the book that they are making is a collection of love poems, which this one is selected by Imtiaz Darker. And
love it.
Yeah, so you can look it up online. There's tons of different people who have submitted their artwork, and you can literally go and vote for them. So I
What's
highly
the
recommend
website so that people can go vote.
Yeah, so if you go, it's a UK website, houseofillustration.org.uk, and you can just click around to find the illustration competition on there and just look up the long list, and you'll see tons of pictures of all the different art, and you can vote on them. And yeah, so this is the long list right now, and then in a month, I think, they'll have the short list, and then the winner will be announced shortly after that. So time is of the essence, folks. You got to pick an amazing cover for this book, but also you can go buy the Howl's Moving Castle one if you want it, which I really do. Even though I didn't love that book, I'm just like, dang, that's a pretty book.
I'm like trying to find it online because I want to go vote. Get involved. Oh, good.
That's what you need to do. Get involved. Yeah, so it looks like on March 18th, the shortlist will be announced. And then the winner on the same day. That's confusing. Anyway, doesn't matter. Just go vote.
Well, I love that. I think that that will be awesome. I really love a beautiful edition of a book. So I think that that's really cool. I think it's kind of sad. I think it's awesome that, like, new books have the opportunity to have, like, one beautiful, definitive, iconic cover.
Yeah.
But in a way, it is sad that it's not, like, obviously public domain and people can't just print, like, other weird, editions. But, yeah, so it's really cool when that happens. I also love a good poetry collection. So I might, depending on if it looks beautiful in the end, I might have to pick it up.
Right? It's like, who cares if it's, what, $60? I'll buy it if it's beautiful. What the hell?
That's the kind of thing you ask for your birthday,
oh,
folks.
Oh, true that.
Well, my book news is a little strange, as always. Usually I find a piece of book news very organically throughout the week. Like, someone will share something on Instagram or I'll hear something or whatever. But this week I was, like, having to search. I was, like, genuinely just hunting. And I found two pieces of book news that are kind of similar. They're about bookshops.
Okay.
And I just love these two stories. And I don't think that either of them are strong enough to be on their own.
Oh, I
see.
I'm
going to
do
both of them.
Sounds good. Tell me a story.
So the first one, this article came out at The Guardian on Valentine's Day also, just like you. And the headline is, Bookshop Burglary Foiled After Prosecco Distracts Raiders.
Tell me again how this isn't strong enough to be the one story you tell.
Just because I'm about to give you the byline and that's the entire story.
Oh, okay.
Two men who broke into London's bookshop, Gaze the Word, were caught by police after raid became a drinking session. So basically, these two guys broke in to Gaze the Word, which was the reason that I clicked on it, because I've been in this bookshop. I've bought books at this bookshop. It's a beautiful shop. It is obviously a book. It's a bookstore full of and for supporting the queer community, like queer books from queer authors and queer characters, etc. It's really, really cool. But yeah, so these two guys broke into the shop, obviously trying to steal money, didn't find any money, really, went looking around and instead found the kitchens where they found a bunch of Prosecco and alcohol and then just kind of hung out and started drinking. And then the police officers found them and took them away.
Like, get out of here. But also, why did they have alcohol at this bookstore?
I bet you they were going to have, like, some sort of a book event or something,
oh,
and they had, like,
so
all of
sad.
This Prosecco. It is sad, and it's even more sad because in the article they write about how, like, the shop is kind of used to having broken windows before because they're, like, very often the target of homophobic attacks, which is obviously so sad. But, obviously, it has a good ending. They had an event like a couple days after this happened and the window was broken or whatever. And people were so like full of love for the bookshop and everything that they donated a bunch of money. Cause the other thing that was super sad was the only money that these thieves found was this little box of money for that they were raising money for like a LGBT youth camp or something, and they stole it. And so all of these people raised way more money than they would have before, and people came by and dropped off bottles of Prosecco, which I think is so funny.
That is nice. Aww.
And the other story is that when did this come out? January 20th on a website called Good News Network. Hey, that's fun. The headline is, 100-year-old bookshop flooded with orders after heartbreaking Tumbleweed Day tweet. So this bookshop called Petersfield Bookshop, on Twitter they're the_PBS, they tweeted this really, really sad tweet. It says ... Tumbleweed ... Not a single book sold today.
Tumbleweed.
We know it's miserable out, but if you'd like to help us out, please find our A Books offering below. All books 25% off, and 4 photos of just an empty bookshop.
Oh,
and it's really sad. And then a bunch of people started like retweeting it and tweeting it, but then Neil Gaiman tweeted it.
Oh my god.
He retweeted it. And he was like, he retweeted it. And so many people bought books from them. And then it was just such a beautiful little moment, because the way that they tweet has a lot of enters. Like they like do a new line. Yeah. It's like, what a night. We've been completely overwhelmed in a good way. Enter, enter. We have 1,100 new followers. Enter, enter. Jesus. We have loads of online book orders. Enter, enter. Like it's just like.
Oh, they sound nice.
Yeah, and, good like, people. There's a photo of all the books they sold, and they thank Neil Gaiman, and Neil Gaiman was like, wow, I had no idea. Like, they were like, we were kind of thinking we were going to have to close, honestly, but now this has given us another boost. So I just thought those were two very nice bookshop-related feel-good stories.
Those were fantastic. Neil Gaiman is so good. Wow.
Neil Gaiman is so cool.
What a good man.
Well, it's time to jump into book recommendations. Raylene, why don't you start it off with your recommendation request from Katie?
So Katie says, "Hi, I'm looking for any books about school. I don't know why, I just love reading about school, particularly boarding schools or like a school of magic." So I was going to recommend just a regular old boarding school book for this, but then I thought of one that was boarding school with magic. It was a book I read a long time ago, Perfect. So the details are a little hazy.
Hexall!
No, I've already recommended that, but good try. The one I'm recommending today is A Great and Terrible Beauty by Libba Bray.
Oh,
did you ever
exciting.
Read that one?
I bought it. A lot of the YA books that were huge on BookTube, I bought at the time and then donated away.
Yeah,
but that book I actually bought only a few years ago. Like, I didn't buy it that long ago when it was huge on BookTube. I just had heard so many good things over the years, and I saw it on paperback, and I was like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick that up. So I own it, but I still haven't read it, of course.
Oh, that's fun. Well, maybe I can convince you. It's very cool. It's about the main character's name is Gemma Doyle, and she's like 16 or 17, and she grew up in India, but she's not Indian, but she's English, I think. And I can't remember what the circumstances are, but she gets yanked out of her life in India to go to a boarding school somewhere in England. And this is like 1800s, like it's a historical fiction. And she has like these weird visions, and she doesn't know what they mean. And so it's got like this supernatural aspect. And so it's all about her, and she goes to this boarding school, and there's also a weird like alternate reality type of thing going on. Or like an alternate world. And so it's just about her and her roommates and her friends just living their lives. And it's interesting because it is kind of just like a regular boarding school type of book.
Yeah.
You know, like there's cliques and there's people being mean to each other and, you know, gossiping about boys and all this stuff. But it's Victorian. So like it has a different vibe to it.
That's
but it's
cool.
It can definitely appeal to people who don't really like historical fiction, because I definitely am not into historical fiction. But I was so into these books. I only read the first two. And I never got around to the third one just because it was so big and so intimidating. But
it did look huge, even to me. Yeah. Especially to me.
Especially to you, yeah. But yeah, so those books were really interesting. Very interesting. There's also a mysterious guy following her around. And there's a reason for it, but it's like mysterious and creepy. And very good. I really like them. Yeah. So that's my recommendation for that. It's all takes place at a boarding school, so it's very cool.
That sounds perfect. Yeah, I've heard a lot of friends like really love that series and really love that author.
She's great.
Well, the book that I picked, I can't remember if I mentioned on the podcast before or not. I feel like I might have, but I don't remember talking about it. And I was like, this is the perfect book, so I'm just going to talk
about
it.
Just do it.
And it is Anna and the French Kiss by Stephanie Perkins. Do you remember if I've talked about it or not?
I think it was mentioned in a recommendation request. Like, I think that somebody
asked
for a book similar to Anna. That's probably what you're thinking of.
Okay.
So, no, you're good.
Now I'm recommending Anna itself. So this was a book that really blew up on BookTube a couple of years ago. Well, honestly, like 8 years ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah, it was a really long time ago. This is a book about Anna, obviously, whose dad has suddenly made a lot of money. I forget how or why.
Isn't he an author?
I think he might be an author. I don't remember.
The joke is that he was like Nicholas Sparks.
Yes. Oh my God. That was it. That was the joke. So he suddenly made a lot of money. And with that money, he's become kind of like a pretentious douchebag. And he wants to do like what other rich people do. And he's like, well, rich people send their kids away to schools in other countries. So I'm going to send you away to a school in Paris. And she really doesn't want to go, which at the beginning of the book I found really annoying because I was very much like, this is just like the one bump you have to get over in this book. Because I remember being like, who in their right mind would complain about going to school in
Honestly.
Paris? Like, it's just teenage angst. Ugh. But whatever. She doesn't want to go. She loves her life in the States and she loves her friends, etc. But she goes because she kind of has to. And also, I think she's a little bit like, I would be an idiot to pass up a trip to Paris. But like, still, I don't want to go. Anyway, she goes and the book is about her time at this boarding school. It is such a charming book. Like, it is so freaking good. Like, good in the way that a rom-com is good. Like, yeah. Good in the cheesy, fun way. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Yes, it's all about the cheese, but that's okay. Like, it's just fun to read something that's super light and fluffy and cake. It's just a piece of cake. It's not good for you, but it's delicious.
Very true.
Yeah, it's a romance and it's about finding your identity in a new place. It's about travel. It's about adventure and it's about making new friends. But yeah, I think that the school aspect is obviously a big part of it because it is a boarding school and she lives at school and stuff. But it is also about the city. So maybe I'm cheating a little bit there, but I love this book. Yeah. I can't remember if you loved this book or not.
I did. When I read it, I loved it. And the second one, I also loved. I didn't love the third one though, but that's okay.
You didn't love the third one?
No.
No, me neither. I kind of wrote a really bad review of it on Goodreads. Like, I had a lot of feelings to get out. And also, I was, like, 19. But, like, I had a lot of feelings to get out about that book. And that's, like, one of my most successful Goodreads reviews of all time.
You can't delete it now. It doesn't matter how hateful.
No, well, exactly. It's a historic monument. It's, like, this terrible review of... it's not even terrible, because I don't even make fun of it. I don't, like, tear it down. I'm just sort of like, it didn't work because of these four things. Mm-hmm. Here's what I wish had happened. Which I wish, like, I had constrained myself and just shared that with, like, you via text or something.
Yep,
but
too late.
The world had to know. The world had to know. Regardless, though, Anna and the French Kiss and Lola and the Boy... Lola and the Boy.
Interesting
Lola
title.
Lola and the Boy Next Door are such good books. Love.
Yeah, I really love boarding school books, especially ones that, like that one, take place somewhere far away from their home, because it's like, like seeing teenagers, they're living by themselves, basically, and like they have to be adults almost, and I really like that kind of scenario. I don't know, I find it really interesting, with teenagers being like, oh, I have to figure out how to be by myself and not be by my parents, but also having the freedom. Like, it's fun. I love how much fun people have at boarding school, in books anyway.
Yeah, totally. It is that thing, like, a lot of the times YA authors want to remove their main characters from parents, and they're just sort of like, how do I get this teenager to not be with their parents right now? And it's just like, oh, a boarding school is a perfect way to just have
and
a bunch
great.
Of teenagers rollicking around, and it's a great time.
Exactly. At least there's a valid reason for there to be no adults around in that situation.
It actually makes sense. Yeah. Jesus. Well, the next book request comes from Athena, which, what a cool name. Athena, the goddess. I'm sure she gets it all the time, and she's like, please, Ariel, stop. I'm so sorry.
Shut up.
If it helps, everyone always calls me a mermaid, and I love it. Anyway.
I don't know if that helps.
Athena asks for, I'm looking for some new adult or adult books set in New York City or other big cities similar to it, where the city really plays a part into creating the atmosphere for the story or acts like a character itself. Any genre is a-okay, and it would be amazing if it's set during autumn or winter. So you get a couple bonus, you have the potential for bonus points.
Really. I forgot about the bonus points. I don't remember when, this one takes place through every single season, I think, the one that I picked.
So I'm going to give you all the bonus points.
I get lots of points.
What is your pick?
Okay, bold choice. I picked The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
Whoa, big boy, yeah. Big boy.
A big boy pick. So this book takes place mainly in New York City, so I get points for that. But it also mm-hmm. takes place in Las Vegas, so that's another kind of big city.
Yeah.
And both cities kind of give a different feeling to the different parts of the book, which is why I think that this really works for that.
Yeah.
Because New York City really is the main setting throughout this book, and it just is a perfect backdrop for the story. There's, you know, the book starts out with tragedy, an explosion in a museum, the main character's mom gets killed. He steals a painting and runs off and goes and lives his life. That's how the book starts.
Okay.
And it's so much. It's like, oh my God. And so it's all about him growing up. When he has this valuable painting that he has stolen, basically. And so growing up, it kind of leads him into all these different situations and the kind of dark underground art crime world and all that kind of stuff as he gets older. And the setting of New York really ties into that nicely. But then there's all the portions that take place in Las Vegas, and it's just kind of like a completely different place. He lives with his horrible dad there, and his dad is a bad guy, and he meets some like weird people there. And it's just like interesting how the two different places kind of have different tones for the main character's life. So I really recommend this book. It's a good time.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I realized while talking about Anna and the French Kiss that genuinely that is a perfect recommendation for that too.
That's true,
Athena is looking for a book, a YA book, then I really do recommend Anna and the French Kiss for this one too. I remember like, whenever I would talk about this book, the main thing I would say about it is Paris is a character in and of itself. Like, you cannot escape Paris in this book. It is central to the whole text. So definitely check that one out. I also wanted to recommend My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Otessa Moshfegh, but this isn't my main one because I've talked about this way too much on the podcast already.
Nah.
But it's so good. So if people haven't, if they need another reason, it's set in New York. And even though the main character, like the whole point of the book is this main character trying to sleep for a year, even though most of it is set in her apartment, she actually does go into New York quite a bit. Mm. And the like kind of global political stuff of 9/11 is happening in the background the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But the book I am gonna actually recommend is An Absolutely Remarkable Thing.
That's a good
by
one.
By Hank Green. I love this book.
It's finally time.
I just want more reasons to shout out about it. And honestly, I plan on mentioning this book at least 80 more times on this podcast.
Okay.
But one thing I haven't really heard people talk about with this book is that it is set in New York City. And I just had this nightmare where I was like, maybe it isn't set in New York. Yeah, it is. It is set in New York.
It definitely is. It's like a global type of book, but the main character is in New York, so.
Yeah, it is global, but yeah, I was like, wait, is it set in Chicago? I'm like, no. So the book takes place mainly in New York. There is some traveling around, but it is to like other big cities, and you hear about the impacts of this global event on different cities. But basically the main character is walking home from work one day, and she's just gotten off the subway. She's like thinking about her life in New York, and she comes across this giant statue, and she decides to make a little video about it because she loves art, and that video ends up going viral and it changes her life. So that's kind of the bare bones version of what the book is about. But one thing that I think Hank Green is preoccupied with in the book and like outside of the book that's really interesting is like the importance of physical community. Like, Hank Green has done so much stuff online that so much of what he does is about celebrating online community through video, through other, like, merch, etc. But he also is writing this book about this girl who, in the end, being a part of the online community isn't enough. Like, she has to be friends with her friends that are like in real life. And so it does take place in New York, and it is like the physical world is a big part of it. And I think that the setting of New York adds to the book a lot because it makes it feel a bit more epic in that way that watching movies that are set in New York does. Because like when I got this, when I read this request from Athena, I totally knew what she meant because I have literally before typed into Google movie set in New York City. Like
there's something that special vibe.
Yeah, there's something about New York City that just gives a certain vibe, and I think that you do get that in An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. And you also get it in My Year of Rest and Relaxation, for sure.
Yeah, that reminds me. I wanted to also give a shout out to Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, because that's another one that, like, New York is so much of, like, it's intertwined into everything that happens in the book. Yeah. So that's another one that I've already talked about, obviously, but highly recommend for this one.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we have come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Do not forget to go visit our Patreon, whether or not you want to support us, but, you know, maybe, I don't know, throw a dime our way. But, like, whether or not you want to support us, we will be posting our spreadsheet over on Patreon so that you guys can recommend us some books. We're going to do the opposite next week. So, we think that that would be a lot of fun. Yeah, Raylene, thanks so much for hanging out with me for this wonderful hour, as we always do. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.